Today is a special healing service. We're just going to give over a good chunk of the service to ministering to the sick and injured in attendance. We always do that, but we like to do a Sunday every so often where we set aside an extra large chunk to do the ministry of healing because it's a good excuse. Keeps us honest and mindful of our role with the Holy Spirit. So the sermon's going to be extra short today, but I want to make sure that you're in it, you're tracking. So here's your warm-up question. Your warm-up question is, what's your best advice for a troubled friend? So you got some friend in generic trouble, just any kind of trouble. What's your best piece of advice for that friend? I'm going to give you 8 seconds to think about it and be brilliant. Then I'm going to get your advice. Some good advice, first service. All right, go. Who's got advice? Yeah. Thank you. Don't lie to yourself. Thanks, Ron. I mean, that's such a great piece of advice. There's so much that goes into it. Implicit is the idea that when times are tough, it's tempting to lie to yourself, right? It's tempting to take emotional shortcuts instead of doing the harder work of honesty. And honesty usually helps you progress out of trouble. So that's good advice. That's very mature advice. Who else? Who's got good advice? Yeah. I'm here for you if you need me. There's sort of a promise in there. The implicit advice is use your friends for help. Oh, is that suck it up? I'm here if you need me, and that's such a bad option that you should just suck it up. Yeah, I see where you're going with that. That's good. But use your friends. We're here for each other. That's good advice. What else? Yeah. Pray. See, it's a Christian answer right here. Pray because prayer is practical. That's one of the big reasons that we do services like today, right? Healing service. We make too big a deal about practical problems and quote-unquote spiritual problems. They're all spiritual problems and they're all practical problems, am I right? We're in touch with a fairly resourceful God who has called us to partner with him. So great advice. One or two more. You got good pieces of advice. Yes, Erica.
Serve someone else and I'll go with you. We'll do it together.
Serve someone else, right? So that's like, this is almost an adage. Like, if it's going badly for you, go take care of someone for whom it's going worse. That might help you feel better about your situation. But I think Christians understand that as you love other people, you become stronger, right? You get in touch with things, with faith and with grace, stuff that's going to help you out in your own problem as well. So go work out. Yeah, Carl, what you got?
Trust that God has a purpose.
Trust that God has a purpose in it. Nothing happens in this world that the Lord cannot turn to good, right? So that's go work out. Just very practically, like if you're stressed, if you're in trouble, go do something active. Don't just sit there and let yourself get depressed physically, emotionally, spiritually. Go do something active, and that usually shifts perspective on it. Cal, what you got?
Drink more water, get more sleep.
Drink more water, get more sleep. You talk about practical advice. Like whatever your problem is, you're going to do better if you're healthy. So take care of the basics. It's a great story about maybe my favorite prophet of the Old Testament, Elijah, who had severe depression, and he wandered out into the wilderness to die. And an angel of the Lord shows up and gives him pancakes and water. You would expect an angel to say something big, glorious, and godly, but he's like, eat. And then he said, take a nap. And that was spiritual ministry in that instance. Did you have one, Corey?
It's not always going to feel this hard.
It's not always going to feel this hard. Yeah. Our trials are momentary and light, as Paul says. There's nothing that happens to us in this world that is anything but temporary. Time passes, things change, and a new life comes. All right, one more piece of advice. You got the best, Bri. Yeah, don't do it alone. Find yourself a couple of godly people to help you out, because when things get hard, we often isolate, right? And God gives us a faith family. because when one is weak, they should lean on those who are strong. That's just good practical advice. You guys are filled with good advice. And like I say, the reason we do healing services is because it's a practical solution to a very practical problem. If people are sick, if people are injured, particularly if there's nothing that standard medicine can do, we should, by rights, be able to approach the living God, you know. And in this world, we will have trials and tribulations. This is a promise that Jesus made to us. And life is designed to be hard. There's designed to be challenge and stuff like that. But we're never supposed to do things alone, and we're never supposed to do things apart from God either, who is our chief company in this. Yeah, so pray. Handle these things as practically as you can. Don't be hopeless. Seek progress, which is to say, take advice. Move on it. Do something. Something's up. Figure out what it is. Whenever we do a healing service, I quite naturally think about all the healings that we've seen. In the past, last healing service, we saw some really cool ones. First service, you know, we did healing ministry. We saw some cool healings, some really significant joint healings, and had some pain relief and stuff like that. Those are the immediate ones. Of course, we prayed for things that some will have to go to the doctor to check out. But we've always got healings happening around here. Sonia heard a story about dental healing this morning, and she passed it on with me. I thought, oh, that's interesting. It was Lydia's story. Is Lydia still here? Yeah, come on up. We do these things at Blue Water called 90-second testimonies. We're just like, oh, if you got a cool story, let's take 90 seconds of the church's time and hear it, because testimonies are always cool. So what was your issue, and how did you handle it?
So I had a really bad toothache, and the very next morning I was at the dentist waiting for him to open, and I actually was going to a prayer conference that day. So he said, you need a root canal, and he made the appointment for later that day. I went to the conference, and the person was speaking on healing, and he said, who has pain? And I raised my hand, and they prayed for me. It took a couple times, but then the pain completely went away. And I go to the dental appointment in the afternoon, and that specialist said, did you really need a root canal? And I was like, yeah, I did. And he's like, oh. I said, didn't you get the my dentist said he was going to forge you the x-rays, but no. He goes, yeah, you needed a root canal here, but you don't need one now. So, yeah. So, and then my son told me one day that his tooth was hurting and that the same dentist sent him to a specialist. I'm going to go get a root canal tomorrow. I said, oh, let me pray for you. That happened to me. So he went to the specialist the next day, and he didn't need a root canal. That was the same dentist, and he's like, your name is familiar. I think your mother was here for this. You know, but, and then my husband had problems with his gums, and he needed to have surgery, and I was like, we should pray for that, and we prayed for that. And he went to the surgeon, and the surgeon said, you know, there's no inflammation. There's nothing significant that says you should have surgery. And so he just went home. He's like, fine, I'm not going to have surgery. He never had problems with it again, and he healed him. So I also wanted to share that someone in the first service was listening to this, and she had been having a toothache, and her pain went away. Yeah, she didn't even get someone to pray for her. She just got healed. So
that's pretty practical. Yeah. Might as well pray, yeah? And if you don't want to go to the dentist or see the oral surgeon, you can go find Lydia. She'll pray for you. The story I was reflecting on this week for some reason was a healing in which I participated a long time ago. I was probably like 30 years old at the time. And for some reason, it was coming back to me this week. There was a gal in the church that Sonia and I were ministering in at the time. It was a brand new believer. Like, she was just had come to Jesus, a baby Christian. And she'd come out of sort of a questionable background, so she was pretty roughed up and stuff. And she had been diagnosed not too long before with a degenerative liver disease. And so her liver was getting worse and worse. It was hard for her to digest certain kinds of food already. And if your liver quits, you're in serious trouble, right? And so it was getting worse. And so she heard, as a new Christian, that sometimes Christians heal people. And so she was kind of interested in that. And I remember she asked the senior pastor of the church. I wasn't a senior pastor of that church. It's like, well, you know, can somebody heal this? And she was told, well, that Jordan guy, he likes this healing stuff. Why don't, you know, let him minister to you? So she gave me a call, and we set up this appointment. I met her at the senior pastor's house and said, yeah, you know, let's do this. You're sick. Let's pray. So I started ministering to her as best I can. And it's one of those times, I can only describe it as I just felt the hand of the Lord come upon me. You know, I was just doing my usual thing, trying to minister healing to this young gal. And it was like the hand of the Lord came on my back. I just felt a lot of power come upon me. From my shoulders, my back was just like whoosh. And my first response to it was total faith. It's like when it happened, like I knew that we were going to get the miracle. I had not a scintilla of doubt in my mind that this was going down. It's like, oh, well, we're going to heal her liver now, right? And I just knew it immediately when the power came upon me. And so I began, you know, to say, you know, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And then in that moment, I kind of caught myself, and instead I found myself saying, in the name of Jesus, you unclean spirit, come out of her. Like somehow I had discerned in my spirit at that moment that the problem wasn't merely physical, if you use those terms, but like some evil spirit, some demon had gotten involved, you know, something like that. And I was like, no, not here, not now, you know. And so I was just like, you unclean spirit, get out, you know, get off her. I just said it like that, knowing that it would happen. I'll always remember that moment. She was there with her, we were kind of down on the ground. She was kneeling in front of me. And again, a baby Christian, totally ignorant of all of this stuff, right? But when I said that, there was a moment in which she jolted, and then she opened her eyes and looked at me, and she said, it's gone. Now, I'm quite certain that she didn't even know what it was. But there was just some awareness in her spirit, her mind. She knew that whatever it was had left. And then I was going to minister healing, and I thought, oh, no, it's done. That was all it took. She's well now. And I said, I think we're done. And she was like, yeah, I think we are too. I don't know how she knew, but as a baby Christian. But then later that week, she went to the doctor. She got a liver tested, completely healed, and was never a problem since then. So, sure, that's fun. That's an old story. But and, you know, I got to participate in X hundreds of healings since then. I can tell you that it doesn't always work that way. You know, it's not me just kind of sensing the power of the Lord and feeling 100% complete faith that it's going to go down that way. You know, it's usually I just do my thing. I just, oh, you're sick. Let me minister healing. Let me do my best in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we do these Holy Spirit retreats, to make sure everybody is filled with that power. And often, you know, it works as well. But the approach is always the same. The approach is always, well, if you're sick, let's handle it. Let's take what God gives us and handle it. If you're depressed, all right, well, let's take what God gives us and handle it. Let's see. Something's up. Let's see if we can fix it. You know, if you've got a problem, something's up. You don't have enough money, you're in financial crisis. Oh, well, let's pray. Let's go to God and let's handle it. Let's see what we can do. And no matter what my faith level is, no matter what your faith level is, of course, I try to bring faith to every such situation. But this is what we do for one another in the kingdom of God on earth. We're in the middle of a sermon series on what does it mean to follow Jesus. Well, Jesus, when he showed up on earth, he ministered what he called the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven on earth. There's no sickness in heaven, so wherever Jesus went, he healed sick people. There are no demons oppressing people in heaven, so wherever Jesus went, he cast out the demons. There's nobody doing without in heaven, so wherever Jesus went, he multiplied loaves and fishes to feed people. He found tax money in fishes' mouths, if you know that story. There's always a way forward. Whatever's up, there's always a way forward with God. And we should treat it as practical ministry. You know, whatever your practical problem is, we walk with God, and so there is probably some sort of solution for you. I want to read a short passage of Scripture from the letter of James. And I like this passage because it has such a practical tone to it. This James is a short letter toward the end of the New Testament. It was written by James, the brother of Christ. So this isn't James, who is one of the 12 apostles that followed Jesus around during Jesus' ministry on earth. This is James, who is Jesus' biological brother or half-brother, however you want to think of it. And he was not a believer in Jesus until after Jesus was resurrected, we're told by church history. And then Jesus visited him after the grave, and James was like, oh, sorry, big bro, I'm on board. And then he became a big leader in the early church. He was headquartered in Jerusalem, and he was famous for being a prayer warrior. And so he writes an epistle that circulated all the churches in the region, and it's filled with this practical advice. For this is how to do Christian living in your life, in this world. And the whole epistle is patterned on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is the most complete sermon that we have of Jesus. It sort of contained all of his stock teachings, and you see it reflected in the epistle of James. And even sort of the general pattern in the letter. One big theme in the Epistle of James is don't worry, you know, don't be stressed out, whatever your problem is, which is, of course, also a big theme in the Sermon on the Mount. And James ends his epistle at the end of chapter 5 with this sort of practical advice you can read along with me. Is any one of you in trouble? Yeah, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Well, let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Well, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayers offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And I like this line. And if they've sinned, they will be forgiven. That's like a freebie thrown in there. It's like, you'll get healed, you'll get forgiven, the whole ball of wax. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, James wants us to understand that the ministry that we do to each other can be powerful and effective. He mentions healing, he mentions trouble, all those things. And then he finishes with a couple verses that are meant to be encouragements to the Christian crowd. And he mentions this guy, Elijah. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet. His nickname was the Prophet of Fire, because he once called down fire from heaven. This was not a guy you messed with, you know. He faced down kings. He did extraordinary miracles. He was a real dude. But James says Elijah was a human being. He's just a guy, even as we are. You know, it's nothing special about him. He was just a dude. But he prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and then the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. This is a story from 1 Kings 17 and 18. The first time we see Elijah in Scripture, he shows up in the courts of King Ahab, who's this really, really wicked king. And he said, look, you've screwed up, you've offended God, so it will not rain in this country for the next few years unless I say so. And then he walked out. And sure enough, drought. And there was like crops were dying. Everybody was in trouble. The king was stressed out. And then when the time was over and Elijah had done all these miracles and had the famous showdown with the prophets of Baal, if you know that story, then Elijah went up on top of Mount Carmel and he prayed. And he prayed that the rain would come. And that's a great story if you want to read it in 1 Kings 18. Sometimes first there was a little cloud and then there was a big cloud and then finally it rained heavily and the drought ended. This was a guy who could pray the weather. Why? Well, I don't know. He was just a dude. He was just a dude. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Evidently, he was a dude that was righteous. In other words, he walked rightly with God. He walked rightly with God. I love this passage because it's so practical. If you're in trouble, pray about it. That's a good fix. That's a good piece of advice. If you're happy, sing songs of praise. If you're in trouble, relate to God about it. If you're happy, relate to God about that. Just keep God in the mix, people. That's the advice, super practical advice. And if any one of you is sick, you should call the elders of the church to come and pray. They'll anoint you with oil, which is like a prayer practice. We do that sometimes around here, but it just means to like lay on hands. And then they'll pray and you'll be well. And your sins will get forgiven. And this speaks to the pattern of ministry that Jesus modeled. Jesus gave away forgiveness in Scripture as if it were free samples. He didn't ask people to repent or confess before he forgave them. He just would forgive them. Like in Mark chapter 2, there's the paralyzed guy lying on the ground in front of him. And he says, okay, be encouraged. Your sins are forgiven. And everybody's like, what? And then he said, stand up and walk. So both are ministry that we can do to each other. In the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. I can minister forgiveness to you. You can minister forgiveness to me if you're a follower of Jesus. Forgiveness is easy in the kingdom of God on earth. Receiving it is the hard part. And often we struggle to receive the forgiveness that God offers us. Right? But it's an easy ministry in the kingdom of heaven and earth, because God is so eager to forgive. And we're also led to believe that God is eager to heal, and we try to minister one to another. Yeah, it follows up, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. We're in the middle of this sermon series, like I say, on what it's like to follow Jesus in the real world and to minister supernaturally as Jesus did. And one of the things that we will find out in the next couple of weeks is that when you have a lot of faith, power moments happen more easily. And I think that's why I was thinking about that healing that I got to be part of with that girl who had degenerative liver disease. It's like I had so much faith in that moment because the presence of God was so obvious that I just knew that the miracle was definitely going to happen. Try to cultivate faith in one another. Try to cultivate faith in yourself, which is to say cast out all fear from yourself. And that sure makes this sort of ministry a lot easier. You know, that's what it said. Forgiveness is the same sort of ministry. In verse 16, James says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We talked about this in my small group on Wednesday. And we noted that it sounds as if he says, well, your sins are easily forgiven, but make sure that you confess your sins so that you can be healed of whatever your sickness is. I don't think that's actually what it means. It's sort of a clunky translation error. Confess your sins to each other so that when you pray for someone, power flows more easily through you. What this means is, like, you don't have to repent of your sins in order to be healed. Like, you know, dead people get raised to life sometimes in the Bible, and dead people never confess their sins. Have you noticed this? So I'm not going to demand that you confess your sins before I try to heal you this morning, but I spent some time this week confessing my sins so that I'm walking rightly with God and the power flows more easily through me as a minister, right? So confession is something that ministers do. In order to flow more easily in the power that God makes freely available to us. And who are the ministers here today? Oh, yeah, that's right. And many of you are better ministers than I am, let's face it. There are things that you can do to flow better in the kingdom of heaven on earth. So that has to do with ministry prep. And we do that, don't we, around Blue Water. You're walking with your brothers and your sisters. You routinely confess. You fess up the mistakes that you've made. You bring it into the light And that helps you walk free from it so that you are unencumbered as you minister miracles. If you keep it in the dark, if you keep your sins secret, then they have more power over you, right? So many of us have gone through 12-step programs like Alcoholics Anonymous. Like the foundational principle of a 12-step program, you show up, you go to a meeting, you stand up and you say, hello, my name is so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. The first step is honesty. You know, you do the hard work of honesty. Yeah, I'm in trouble and this is what I struggle with. And then it tends to have less power over you. And then you can do the work of recovery. From there. So this is what that verse means. It's like, yeah, you know, don't struggle with things in the dark. If you're struggling with something, get it in the light, get free from it so that you can get on with your practical work, like healing people and forgiving people and stuff like that. That's what it's about. And then Elijah, he was a human being just like we are. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. He prayed earnestly that it would rain. And it did. Anybody can do this. That's what James is saying. And the reason we do healing services at Blue Water Mission is to keep ourselves honest. Like, yeah, we should be doing this. Church should be a place where you can come with your practical problem. And I don't know what practical problem you dragged in here today, but some of you are sick or injured, and we're going to, in a couple minutes, try to heal you. Some of you are depressed. Like I say, some of you are struggling with practical situations. You're in the right place because this is a place where people pray. This is a place filled with human beings, just like Elijah. Human beings. You can look to your left and your right, and you'll see that almost everybody here is a human being. And if it's not a human being, you're probably looking at a dog. And we all know that dogs are the world's best Christians. So they're going to be even better at ministry. I had a dream this week. I'll just end with this story. I have a dream every week, but this was a dream that really stuck with me. It was a dream from God. I've been walking with God long enough now to know when I get a dream that it's from the Lord. You know, people often get dreams from the Lord in the Bible. Sometimes we do as well. And I've been doing it so long that when I have a dream from God, what I do is I enter into my dream and I try to interpret it on, like, while dreaming, so that I wake up with the interpretation. And so that happened at the end of this dream. I sat at a table, a dream table, with friends and discussed the meaning of the dream, but it was fairly easy to interpret. So here's the dream. In the dream, I was driving my car down H1, just like normal, and then all of a sudden, I was transported, me and my car. We just, like, were just beamed to a different world, and suddenly, I wasn't driving down H1 in Hawaii. I was on this freeway and this wide open space, this wide open land. It looked like I was driving through, you know, deep rural Wyoming or something. Like, it was just huge. And in the dream, when it happened, I jolted. I was like, oh, this is one of those transportation miracles. I've always wanted one of those. And I was just overcome by an awareness that it had actually happened, that the miracle was real. And I was like, yeah, this is so cool. I was so impressed by it, such that I remembered. It was the sense of the dream that I think the Lord was trying to give me. Then I drove a little further, and off on my right, in this epic land, was a nuclear power plant. Have you ever seen a nuclear power plant? If you're from the islands, probably not. I've been to them before. They usually have a big cement stack in the middle. You've probably seen pictures of that. But this nuclear power plant didn't have just one stack. It had numerous stacks, like more than I could count, all kind of crammed together in this huge plant footprint. So it was a symbol of unlimited power. You get it? And then I drove a little further, and to my left was stacks of these dressed trees. That might not mean anything to you, but I grew up in a mill town in Oregon, a lumber mill town. And what happens at lumber mills is that people go out into the forest and they harvest trees, and then they cut all the limbs off of them. And then they bring the tree without any limbs to the plant, and they stack them in piles. And so in Oregon, back when we had lumber, you get these piles of hundreds of logs. Only the logs were Oregon trees, so sometimes they'd be 100 feet or 200 feet long. These really impressive stacks of these dressed trees. and they would stack them up, and they'd season a little while, and then they'd take them through the mill, and they'd make lumber out of them. So I saw one of these stacks, only like it was raised to the sky, and it looked like it was miles long, like countless thousands of dress trees, lumber trees. And so what that was a picture of unlimited natural resources. Why trees? Because trees are, like, we think of natural resources as finite, right? There's only so many of them to go around. But the Lord was saying in this dream, it's like, oh, no, no. I'm a God of infinite resources. My world is not limited. And when I was in this dream, my sense was of the bigness of this place. I mean, the sky was huge. The land was so open. It was not like island driving at all. It was like I could drive for miles in any direction, and there was just endless space, endless power, endless resources. I didn't want to wake up. It was so cool. And I think what the Lord was saying to me, and I think what he would say to you this morning, is that that's God's world. God's world is much, much bigger than your world. God's world is a place of unlimited power. Unlimited power. Like endless nuclear reactions. He's the guy that invented nuclear reactions, by the way. Endless natural resources. You don't have to worry about things running out in God's world. And in that world, what's impossible? I mean, what can you not achieve? What can you not build? That's the sense that I walked away with. And I wish I could communicate that sense to you this morning, because I think it would make the miracles flow easier. Just like I wish that every time I tried to heal somebody, that I'd kind of feel the power of the Lord come upon me, and then I would have perfect faith. I remember that story because I remember what it felt like. It felt true. It's the rest of my life that feels less true, you know? And I look around this world and I navigate, and there are realities that I perceive. But when I was in the dream, I was like, no, 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 this is capital R reality. This is what reality is really like. And if I could just kind of flow there, then I think then the miracles would be kind of automatic. And I think Jesus did flow there. And I think Elijah spent a lot of time there in his mind and in his spirit. You get it?
Yeah.
But regardless of where you are, regardless of how you drag yourself in here this morning, whether you have perfect faith or marginal faith, the Lord is here for you. And we always get interesting stories when we try these things. So let's do some healing ministry, shall we? Let me just ask, how many of you came this morning with a need for healing from some sort of sickness or injury? You've got something going on, and you would like, the church to take care of it. Go ahead, raise your hand up. Unless the problem is with your arm, in which case, elbow the person next to you, and they will raise their hand in your stead. You have to leave it up so I can see and count and get my head around it. Don't be shy. If you've got something that you need healing from, let me see. You're just a little bit healthier than first service, for what that's worth. So there are quite a number of you. What we're going to do, okay, you can lower your hands now, thank you. You can tell who the obedient ones were. They left their hands up the whole time. We'll develop ministry in such a way that the prayer ministry team will come forward here in a few minutes. And they're like the elders of the church, the elders of this particular ministry. And they'll lay hands and heal you. Because there are so many of you to start, let's just minister to you where you are in the seats. So if you are one of those who raised your hand, could I just ask you to stand? Unless you can't stand, because that's your injury, in which case, just raise your hand again. And if you are clumped up, could you spread out a little bit? So you can step into the aisles and stuff, just so that ministers can reach you. Because part of this is that we minister one to another, right? So just get to a someplace where we can have access to you, if that's cool. Just spread out a little bit. You can step in the aisles or come forward. All right. And I need a ministry team to heal all of these people. So my ministry team this morning is going to be everybody who's seated. We're going to just ask you to stand up in a minute and minister to these people. Here's how we're going to do it, okay? I'm going to pray that the Spirit would come, that the Holy Spirit would come and give us power for healing and stir us in faith. That's usually a good way to start. And then you're going to get up and you're going to go to the person whom you've selected. So look around right now and identify one of these people, and you're going to choose the person that you're going to go minister to, either because they look healthy and the miracle they need is small, or because they look really pathetic and your heart goes out to them. One of the ways. All right, so you got your person selected. And you're going to walk up to them when I say go, and you're going to ask them to give you a one or two sentence medical history. They're just going to say something really simple, like, my knee hurts, or my tummy aches, or I need a root canal, or my liver doesn't work anymore, right? Something like that, really simple. Even serious things can be communicated really simply. And then you're going to be like, okay, and you'll say a little prayer. You know, Lord, let your kingdom come. And then you're going to speak to the condition, and you're going to say, in the name of Jesus, knees get better. In the name of Jesus, tummy ache go away. In the name of Jesus, we heal your mouth, no more root canal. In Jesus' name, liver get better. Something really simple like that, right? And we're going to do that to one another. If there are several people in your group, everybody can take a turn. Everybody understand? This is the church being obedient to Scripture. If any of you is in trouble, call the church. Get yourself some healing. You'll get healed. You can be forgiven of your sins. If you feel led, if the person looks really sinful, then you know you can throw in the name of Jesus, you're freed from all of your sins. You can throw that in there, which is really cool. You're just laughing because you know you need it. Cammie's looking at you. She knows. But that's that attitude of joy is the correct attitude for forgiving sins, right? I mean, it's such a relief to be able to minister that to one another as well, yeah? And it is a relief to be able to minister healing to each other. So you got your person picked out. Go ahead, stand up. You're my ministry team. Gather around. And there are a lot of people here at Blue Water who are total veterans of this, so it's going to be very easy. If you're totally new to it, you don't have to participate, but keep your eyes open and lend faith. Get a one-sentence medical description. One sentence, two sentences max. Somewhere. I've got some, but... All right, that's enough talk. Now you can just pray and then minister healing. Let me pray to kick us off. Father God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be present to heal many. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, I bless you, brothers and sisters, with the fruit of a righteous prayer. In the name of the Lord. Be healed in Jesus' name. All right, go ahead and minister to the specific condition. Go. We'll take a few minutes to do this. Go for it. Go for it. I know a lot of you are old pros at this. Go for it. Tell it to get better. If you're not part of the ministry directly, just I don't know, just watch and lend the faith of your heart to the proceedings. You can help us out with faith. Somebody's came in with a bit of a headache. That's clearing in the name of the Lord. Yeah. From your head down your spine, right? Bless you. All right, you got about 15, 20 more seconds. Get her done. Stay focused and get her done. Receive your power. Keep it up. All right, focus here for a second. If you can test it, go ahead and test it. Like if it were your knee, you can do a knee bend, or if it were your back, you could twist it around. If it's a pain, you could tell if the pain has stopped. I know not everything can be tested at this moment, but if you can. And it's often in the moment of trying it out that the miracle is released, by the way. So go ahead and try it out. All right, now, if it was not 100% healed, take another whack at it. I'll give you another couple of minutes. Take a whack at it. Repeat. Repeat the process. Go quickly. Stay focused, please, people. Finish it off. If it's not done yet, finish it off. Go for it. Give it another whack. Go figure. How about that? Who knew? Take 60 seconds and do it again. Go for it. All right, let me focus back here for a second. If everybody could quiet down and look at me. I know that not everybody can test it out, but I'm always interested. Did people receive something even in that short 5 minutes? You received some healing? If so, raise your hand at me. Yeah, what happened here, Angel? So you got partial healing for something? Yeah. Oh, you came in with a sore throat.
Yeah.
So that's got.
Oh,
because you can't observe.
Observe.
Cool. Well, that's good. That at least the sign we can see is better. Yeah. And what happens here?
I felt like spiritually better.
Uh huh. You came in down and. Oh, fresh and entering God's kingdom and feel better. That's practical. Cool. Who else? Who else received something? Yeah, what happened over here? Well, like sciatica.
Oh,
spinal stenosis. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You felt power?
Yes, I did.
And how's your back?
Well, you know, it feels pretty good.
That's cool. Yeah, stenosis is no joke. What happened back here, Nathaniel? Bone cancer, and the pain went away. Yeah. Well, that's a good sign. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot internally that we cannot see, but at least the pain went away.
Wow.
Praise God. That's lovely. Anyone else receive something right there? What happened, Carly?
So my feet.
Oh, yeah, your feet.
Been being preyed upon, and they're improving, but when we prayed today, I felt something shoot out of the right foot, like the something.
You just feel something release?
Something
and,
released in the
doubt. Uh-huh. And how does it feel?
It feels fine right now.
It feels fine. That's good. Yeah. I will accept fine. That's better than painful. Was there one more hand? Yeah, what happened here? You have arthritis in your fingers? Yeah. And the pain's not quite gone. Mostly gone? You gonna take it? You have sciatica? Since when do you have sciatica? And that feels?
It feels better.
Oh, so you're like, all right, so we need another whack on Julie. But market improvement, that's great. And I'm sorry, there is one more hand I think I missed. Yeah, what happened back here? That's good. Swelling went down. And I'm sorry, in the back? Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Those are always the best testimonies where people go, I can't do this. And so that's cool. Well, those were things that you could obviously tell the change in the moment. And I know some of you were getting ministry for stuff that's internal or maybe that we cannot tell. But at least some of the problems got taken care of up front. You can make your way back to your seats or general to a seat. And I'd like to invite the prayer ministry team. Come forward, please. So if you're on the prayer ministry team or you're a graduate of blah or a Ohana group leader, you can just come on up. And spread yourself across the front. And get a couple more guys up here. So if you got ministry for something and you can tell it didn't go away yet, the problem is still prevalent. Or if you got ministry for something internal and you can't prove whether it's healed or not, let's get you some more ministry. Come forward now here in a second. I'll just release you to come forward, and these guys will lay a hand on you. And they will do exactly what it says to do in James 5. The elders of the church, the ministry elders, will just pray for you, and they'll minister healing, and you'll be made well, and your spirit will be relieved. And this is just how it is in a world of unlimited power and unlimited resources. Life is hard, but there's never a lack of power for change. There's never a lack of a way forward. That's the promise that we have in Jesus. And these guys are here. They've given over a good portion of their lives to prayer. They are righteous in prayer, you can just tell. And so their prayers are powerful and effective. So I invite you to come forward to receive that. And yeah, I was just about to ask, we have, sometimes the Lord speaks to people and say, oh, I want to make sure that this condition gets healed specifically. So what did you get, Mia?
I didn't get a specific condition, but just a very strong feeling that there are some of us today who have said, it's not for me today. You have taken whatever pain or whatever problem that you're facing, and you have said, you've set yourself aside. And I just got a strong, like, no, maybe for you too. Why not for you? So even if you think, oh, this pain is so small, or it's not worth mentioning, or there are so many other people who need prayer, or whatever it is, He is an infinite resourced God. And so even what you view as little, it matters to Him. And so I think I will ask that you would just be bold. You're like, if you were one of those who said, not today, not for me today, but you're like, okay, maybe today. Could you raise your hand? Okay, and I'm just going to pray over you really quickly. You can leave your hand up. Yes, Lord. Nothing is too small for you. Nothing is too big for you. Every single person matters to you. Every concern, it weighs on you. It grieves you, Lord. Mm. We deeply need your healing. And so I just say right now, brothers and sisters, whatever it may be, healed in Jesus' name. Right now. Yes, yes, even that, even for you. Right now. Amen.
Nice. Any other words of knowledge, specific things that people want to get healed? Yeah, Erica has one.
This is going to sound silly, but anyone have a toothache? From first, I know first service should have been there, but anyone have a toothache? No toothaches.
If you do, see the girl with the dog. Brian has one.
Just real quick, wanted to give an invitation to anybody who's struggling with anything emotionally today, whether it's depression, but in specific, doubt. I feel like that if you're struggling even with your faith and your walk in the Lord, come. Just come forward and we'll pray for you and ask the Lord specifically to reassure you today of his love and presence.
You're struggling particularly with doubt. Come, you got one, Sonia?
I have a very strong feeling that the Lord want to ask people who did not have good eating habit and is going to your stomach might cause the big problem. So right now, even you have the mild issue, just come here and pray.
So stomach problems, digestive problems, maybe because you haven't eaten the best in the course of your life. That's cool. You're forgiven. In Jesus' name, now come forward and grab your healing. That is the command of Scripture. I felt like there's someone with an issue in your blood vessels, the ones close to the heart up here. I'd like to pray for you specifically. I think the Lord wants to heal that today, sort of renew, rejuvenate that area. And then I feel like there are people with carpal tunnel, which is really common, right? I feel like the Lord just wants to take care of that so you can do your work freely. Like, I feel almost like if you take your hand and just kind of massage it a second in your seat, it would probably go away. It's like there's grace for that healing. So in Jesus' name, be healed of that. Be healed of that. All right. And whatever other condition you have, let's come forward now. We'll take the next 10 minutes and just sort of minister healing. If you've come with something that hasn't been healed already, get yourself up here and approach somebody, and they'll politely heal you. Come on up. We'll make room. There's some over there. Eventually. There's some ministers over in that corner. There's some over in that corner. Hey, Cody. All right, give me just a second. I'll pray for you. Yeah. Oh, it's your heart? Okay, I'll pray for you. Spread them out, guys. Don't wait. Go get somebody.